Okay, there we go. Okay, pray with me for a moment and we will get started. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you again so much for this day. Thank you for this chance to come together in Jesus' name and to read your word and the scriptures and to see what resonates with the spirit of truth that is inside of each and every one of us. And this day, Father, as we come together, we ask that you would quicken each and every one of us on the path that you have for us. You are the way, the truth, and the life, and so we ask for that. We ask for that this day. We ask for the way and the truth and the life to be manifest in us and to continue to take us from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto you, the Most High, and unto your plan and purpose, not just for us, but for all that are around us, Father, as you are changing the dynamic of the very world we live in. So as we open this time, we just ask that you would quicken the words and let the words that are spoken be in line with the truth and that which would be a blessing unto everyone that hears them, in Jesus' name. Okay, all right, let's go to Revelation chapter 13. All right, so we got new faces today, so we're going to do a little bit of a recap. So, okay, Revelation 13, verse 1, said, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea." Now, that's the main part, but I'm just going to read a little bit more. "Having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the names of blasphemy." And so, okay, this today we're in part 3, and the part of this series has been the beast out of the sea. Now, many, many times when people have talked about, you know, the book of Revelations, metaphorically, literally, all these other things that are there. But this has been something that was put there for, and that has carried down, and there's hints inside of this that are very useful for us in understanding, one, the world that we live in, mm-hmm. and two, how we are to navigate through that world. Now, early times, people talked about Rome being, you know, that city on the seven hills and the rest of that, and there's questions about that. One thing that you'll see throughout history is always this repeating pattern. You'll see something happen in history and then the pattern repeats again and again and again. And there's a mathematical precision to that too about when certain things end up happening historically in time. Many times people that predict future events, I'm just getting a little off topic, but they predict future events, but a lot of times they're mathematicians because they have a way to be able to see in time and understand certain cyclical patterns. And we, in the backdrop of our reality here, there is a backdrop, just the canvas on which we're all experiencing life, that certain things will continue to happen. Now, that is not necessarily determining your life experience. Your life experience while you're here, you and I, we all make choices and decisions that affect our personal experience. But the backdrop, the movie set, is going to keep doing what it's doing behind the scenes, right? So, now, one thing that is here that I've never really heard people talk about this that much, and so it caught me, and then I started looking into it, and other things started coming to me at the same time. Material started coming to me at the same time that made this understood, truly understood for the first time. Verse 1, "And I saw, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea." And there is something that came from the sea onto the land. And now when we start to look at why is the world the way that it is? Why is the human experience what it is? And so this was some questions that we posed recently. And then another thing that we talked about in the earlier parts, in parts 1 and part 2, the word law, right? Mm-hmm. So law is land, air, and water. Okay. So the law of the land, common law. The law of the air, spiritual law. And the law of the water is admiralty. Or a mercantile. So admiralty or mercantile. It's a bit, sorry, forgive all my scribblings there. But so the law of the air, spiritual law, that's where the highest form of law is there. That is where love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's where do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. These are the highest forms of across. These are anybody that breathes air. This is universal. This is understood. This is the highest form of law, is the spiritual law. The next form, so this is number one. The next one, number two, is common law. Now, common law is actually quite simple. That's the law of the land. Now, the law of the land, when America was formed, the original constitution of this country was established under spiritual law and common law. Now, what that is, you can't kill somebody else. If you can't steal somebody else's stuff, you can't swindle people. Like, that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. If you do that and you live like that, it's a pretty good world. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the way that you end up living. Mm-hmm. That is common law. Now, the law of the water, that is the third. That's a lower class of law. So it is, and this is important that you understand the successions of air, land, water, and why these, as you go down, you go into a degrading form of law, a lesser form of law. Mm-hmm. The lesser, lower vibration form of law is water, admiralty, mercantile law. Now, why is that important? Well, because as long as this, as long as the law of the water does not violate the law of the land, hey, come. As long as the law of the water does not violate the law of the land, it can stand. If it doesn't, if it violates the law of the land, then it can't stand. As long as the law of the land doesn't violate the law of the air, it can stand. So you always, when something is out of line or out of place, you have the ability to appeal to the higher law to resolve something, right? Because you will have to make restitution. So for example, we've all worked in companies, we've all worked in places. If you went to work at Sam's Club, right? And you go in there, now they've got company policies, right? It's company, quote unquote, laws. Their policies, their ways that they work. But if they said, look, you have to work 7 days a week, 20 hours a day, no vacation ever, and you can only use the bathroom once a day, like, that is not going to work, right? That's actually comes to a form of even torture at a certain point. So you, now that can be their internal processes, but how, and that may be what they have on the books, but, and it may be even inside their own thing, their company has approved it. But is that lawful? No, it's not, because you're doing harm to people. That's okay. Come on. You're doing harm to people. So if you're doing harm to people and you appeal to a higher law, to common law, to a higher law, because there's actually people being injured in the process, you have the ability to appeal and to, if you can show, look, this is actually doing harm. So you have, so now what has happened now when we start to look at this beast that came out of the sea and onto the land? Well, the beast that came out of the sea and onto the land was what they've done in this country, which is the mercantile law, the admiralty law that has come onto the land, but looks like, sounds like, pretends to be the law of the land. And there's a huge difference between those if you understand how those things are set up. So, for example, why is your birth certificate, all right, quick question. Is your, in your driver's license, you all have one in your pockets and your wallets and your purses, how is it spelled, your name? How do they spell your name?
Spell The correct way, right?
It's all in capitals. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Why is it in all caps?
So people don't just get confused with an L and a capital I.
That's what they've told you, right? Right? No, they've told you that but the reason that it's in all caps is because that is not you. That is a representation of you in admiralty and mercantile law. So that is your straw man. That is your straw person. That is a fabricated fiction of who you are, and you get drugged through life with that straw man being attached to it, subject to all of the statutes that are created under the law of the water, under mercantile admiralty law. Now, so how does that work? Well, when you've got the merchants then the mercantile system, and that's the way that they're actually enforcing things on the land, when they can create a straw man, and if you subject yourself to that straw man, you allow that fiction of you to be what you associate with, now they drag what you associate with, and you, the real you, gets dragged along with the fabricated you. Do you know that they trade your birth certificates on the stock market? So when you were born, this is why they put all this stuff that happens in the States, with kids, this is why it's actually very, you got to look at this, of like how, when the people have to be asking these questions, like, why do you print my child, take their blood, do all of this other stuff at the time that they're born? What is the purpose of all of this? You put a couple of drops of silver in their eyes, like, going over the river Styx, you're saying they're basically DOA, so that they can be a corporate fiction, because everything that's corporate, core pirate, everything that is in that world is it is not a person. A corporation cannot deal with a person. You have to deal with another corporation. You cannot deal with a living entity. You're dealing with other vessels of the sea. So they create something that is a fiction of you, mm-hmm. to then trade you, mm-hmm. to merchandise you. So now here's the implications of that. Well, how did this happen in the United States? 1871, little history here. 1871, America was broke. Civil War had finished. The country was bankrupt. And then what did they do? Well, the bankers of the world said, well, we will help you finance some of your recovery, but we want to say in what ends up happening to make sure we can get our collection. So what did they do? They inserted themselves into government. So they created a corporation, USA Inc., which has a DUNS number, and operates out of Washington, D.C., and that is providing management services for the country. So there's three places in the world that they've set up systems like this that are very clear. Mm-hmm. The Vatican, London, the city of London, which is very different than how England works, and in the States it's Washington, D.C. So in Washington, D.C., what do you have? You've got what's on the license plates there. It says taxation without representation, right? Mm-hmm. Washington, D.C., though all these people go there to meet for Congress, yet there is no representation for them there. Why is that? The reason is because when they go there to meet, they go there and they are not inside of D.C. It is a separate zone.
Mm-hmm. Inside of the U.S.
Inside of the U.S. Thank you. It is a separate zone inside of the U.S. And so even though America is supposed to be run by three branches of government, executive, legislative, and judicial, within D.C., Congress is a one-party system. That's why they always talk about our democracy. When you hear them talking about, oh, it's a threat to our democracy. Which democracy? Which America? Which United States? See, so all of us are considered, when you're considered to be an opt-in citizen to D.C. So D.C. is the place where a lot of these statutes take place.
Yeah.
And the statutes that take place, we opt in to coming under a lower form of law than what the country's in because of a bait and switch setup that was instituted in this country that goes back over 150 years.
Yeah. And isn't part of the solve for that having the states have their own like laws that sometimes supersede or fight against the federal?
Yeah, so there's a lot of pieces that go into this, and there's a lot of understanding that people are just beginning to ask these questions. Why? How? Like, why? So, for example, why are they taking all of these resources of this country and shipping them off to Ukraine? What does that have to do with anything? Why? We have an open border in Texas, and we've got a lot of problems on the Texas towns. What is that? What is fiat? So what is the currency that we all end up using? You know, I used this example last time. So, I mean, here's a dollar, right? Well, written on the dollar, it says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. So this is not money. It's legal tender. And what it does is it allows you to, because this is a debt note, what it allows you to do is it allows you to put off paying with real money to a future date by using this. So you basically are trading debt notes with other people, mm-hmm. but you're not trading money. Mm-hmm. And it only works because we participate in it. So this is very much a piece of the larger system that's utilized out of the whole construct for the purpose of doing one thing: stealing and eroding the value of the American people. This is the greatest form of slavery the world has ever known, and here's the reason why. When you have a slave, a physical slave, all right? I'm going to write this here. If you have a physical slave, well, what do you have to do? You have to feed them. You have to clothe them. It doesn't have to be great. You have to shelter them. All right, you've got to have medical, to some degree, even if it's uppers and downers. You've got to do all these different things for that person, right? That is your slave. And even though human trafficking is now very likely the biggest industry in the world, criminal industry in the world, this being, you still have to do these different things. You have to move them around. You have to have space for them, right? When you control this, when you control the medium of exchange as far as a tool of slavery, you don't have to do any of these other things. You don't have to feed the people that use this note. You don't have to clothe them. You don't have to shelter them. You don't have to provide for their medical. But you can take their value all day, every day. And how you can take the value that they create is because you control the medium of creation, and you can just erode it away by making more of it. And that is where inflation and taxation come into play. So inflation and taxation are used as means of taking value, unlawfully, by the way. The difference between something being illegal and unlawful. It's legal because we opt in. But it's not lawful. Right? You understand the difference. The difference between something being legal and lawful. So this is not legal. Actually, if you look at our original constitution, the only things that could be money in this country was gold, silver, and silver-backed currency. You could not use this. This was not legal. What we use in this country is not legal. But it's not lawful. But it became legal because we opted in through sleight of hand. And now what's happening is, in this country, people are losing the value of everything they have and have created because they have the means of exchange, of extracting that value from the people. So it's very deliberate what's actually happening right now to undermine this country and steal the value of the people. So inflation right now is at an all-time high, or if not an all-time high, one of the all-time highs historically, and it's continuing to go up. Now that's continuing to go up, but that's actually on purpose. Let me go jump to a quick verse here. Revelation 18 and verse 23 says, and this is speaking about the fall of Babylon, says, and the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more of thee, be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Okay, this is Revelation 18:23-24. Now, first of all, the merchants of the earth were the world's great men, i.e., those that operated in and under admiralty law, mercantile law, the beast out of the sea that came onto the land, those were the world's great men. This is now the system that we are coming out of as we're coming from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. So we're coming out of an old system and a system of deception. Now, it's very important that they also discuss sorcery. Okay, well, what's sorcery? So sorcery, here's the definition. And you got to be a little careful about definitions because they keep changing definitions all the time, right? They keep rewriting words these days because they don't want people to know. The use of supernatural power over others through the assistance of spirits and witchcraft. Supernatural, and these are just some abbreviations, supernatural power through connivance of evil spirits, magic, enchantments, witchcraft, spells. So these are tools of the trade used by the merchants to accomplish their objectives over the people. So enchantments, so word magic. Have you seen how words have been weaponized against the people to keep them away from the truth? So every time anybody, even now, this, with what we're sharing, in the last month, we've had 2 strikes on our YouTube channel.
Really?
Yeah, we've been getting, like, we're basically just about to get banned.
I didn't know that.
From just talking about this stuff, right? And what are we, now this is why, because who's in charge of YouTube? The merchants. So these are those that are engaged in the. So when we start to look at who's involved and where and why, these are the things that they do not want the people of God to know. Because if you know this, then you also know how to come out from under it, right? But words are used against you. It's very, very. Words are incredibly powerful, and we have the ability to create. Just think about the power. If somebody says the words, I love you, versus you're a stupid idiot. You know, just like both of those have a resonance, both of those have a frequency, both of those have a power, both of those will affect you to a core level, especially if it comes from the heart of the person saying it to you. Now, there's a concept in advertising. It's called effective reach and effective frequency. Who are you reaching with your message, and how often do they hear your message? You need to reach the people that you want to reach with a message, and the number of times that you have to reach them with that message to achieve your goal. There's certain levels of progression: awareness, perception, belief, value. Each time that people get more and more indoctrinated with a message, the more that they continue to go from, oh, I think that, to, oh, I start to believe it a certain way. You start to go, the more that you're around certain information. This is why the scriptures also say, walk with the wise and you'll be wise yourself. You know, that's, if you have that as your company, it was going to help you. Iron sharpens iron. There's that. But then there's also, you know, if you keep company with fools, that's going to be your ruin. Like, so if you are around idiots, that's going to also impact you as well. So whatever you surround yourself with. So that's why the flood of what is put around you at all times by that world system is to keep you indoctrinated into a system of control that they are the ones, the slavers, because they are slavers. They are slavers that are using that system to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the thief comes to do. That is John 10:10. The thief comes not for it, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Can you imagine the abundance of life that you would have if you actually used real money that didn't bleed out, and if what you did and created wasn't stolen from you right from under your nose, and if you were not living with imaginary statutes that have nothing to do with law, but are created at the whims and the fancies of those that are partakers of a evil sorceress witchcraft system in participation of a slave construct for humanity. Can you imagine how abundant your life would be if those parasites weren't there? Right?
Yeah.
No, those are parasitical forces. Yeah. Right there, when I went through just those different things, that's 6 months of your life. That's 6 months of your life between what's stolen from you through what you trade in, what's taken from you through harvesting of the labors that you do get, and then the time wasted in trying to comply with all of those other things. And that's the reason why everybody's so darn busy and they can't stop for a second to even think, you know, what would I like to do today? Because they got to be on the grind to get some stuff done. Otherwise, how are they going to pay for whatever? You know, with this leaky bucket. That's all by design. And in the meantime, the ones that design the system, they are laughing their asses off at the people that won't stop long enough and sit down at a table and figure out how this has happened to them. So this is why now, as they push for the next level of tyranny in this beast that comes out of the sea and onto the land, which incidentally is CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, which has all of the problems of fiat and all of the problems of crypto and none of the upside of any one of those. And that is what they're trying to bring out and hoist upon the people. That's where they're going with this control construct. And if you haven't seen what they're doing with it in China, if you don't spend it, it expires in the bank. So now they're going to try to make sure that you would never have the chance to ever get out from under the thumb of the beast system, but by your participation. Which, incidentally, the difference between legal and lawful, one of the key components to all of this comes down to each and every one of us, which is the word consent and our consent to or not to something. Okay, the word consent means to give assent as to the proposal of another, agree. It's an agreement. It's an agreement that you make. You know, it's to be of the same mind or opinion. So, I'll give you an example there too. In this country, the people that have the responsibility of enforcing the law of the land are the sheriffs. The sheriffs are the ones that are supposed to do that. The police are, by and large, and bless their hearts, many of them are trying to do a good job, but many of them are enforcement agents of the corporation. And so that's why there are legalese traps that are used many times when it happens. When they come up to you and they say, do you understand? You know, they come up, do you understand? What are they actually saying?
Will you agree to this?
Do you stand under? When you use so the word, do you understand what they're saying is, I'm going to write this one here. All right. So understand. Or do you, a sovereign human being, choose to now come over here and stand under my jurisdiction and all of the statutes that are there, under the ad? And as soon as you say, yes, I understand, that's it. Now your straw man is along for the ride because you've now said, I understand. So what's your Miranda rights? You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. Court of law. Which law? This law. Water law.
Yeah.
Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have the right to an attorney. What kind of attorney? A bar attorney, i.e. the bar. Where does the bar come from? The bar. It's the sandbar. You've got the well. You've got the bar. You've got the banker on the bench. Approach the bench. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed for you by the court. Do you understand? Do you stand under these rights that I've just read to you?
Interesting.
Yes? Let me cuff you. Here you go. You're along for the ride in the prison industrial complex, in this nation, which is, that's the reason why we have more people incarcerated inside the United States than we do any other country in the world. That is our, one of our biggest industries that we have in this nation, is the business of prisons. We incarcerate, but this is because the business. It's the business of medicine, it's the business of the prison industrial complex. Every one of these things are businesses, because they're all structured under mercantile admiralty law. And until the people of God recognize what's going on, we become part and parcel of it because of what? Our consent. So we consent to a system that is ungodly, unlawful, but legal, because we consent to it. Now, it's against that. Now, part one and part two, if you haven't heard those parts, you might want to go back and check those lessons. But part one, part two, we went through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here's the law of the land. The king said, you need to bow down and worship. And they didn't. Why? Because they were subject to a higher law. That may be the legalese, what was being told to them, but no, we're not going to bow down and worship you, because that's not what we do. You know, we're going to take care of the things that are in line with the true law, the higher law, but in this regard, we don't need to be careful in answering you, O king, because that's not right. That's not true. That's not what we're supposed to do. But how many people were right on their knees? Because they go along to get along. And when we go along to get along, that's the reason the world is in the position that it's in. We keep wanting to externalize it and blame it on this guy over here, that guy over there, this party, that party, this people, that people. The problem starts with us. And that's a hard thing for us to admit, but the problem starts with us because of our consent. Somewhere along the way, we have to say no. I do not consent to this. I do not consent to the system. I do not consent to the way that this is. I do not consent to how this is playing out. And I remove my consent. When you do that, the first thing that does is it puts you on a spiritual path and an energetic path for things to then open up for you to understand how. But something in you has got to say, this is not right. Here's something too. You can have everything in this world perfect, as far as the world says, can have all the things going, everything is great, you know, life is grand, but you know something's wrong. Why? Because we're connected to all humanity. So as long as other people are suffering, you will suffer, because you will feel their suffering. You will feel it, and you will know it in yourself that this is not right. You can feel it in other people. So when we, as long as we consent to an evil system, by that, we're actually participating in it. So now, let me go to a couple scriptures here. Okay, one thing I wanted to, I'm going to touch on one scripture from last week, was in John chapter 19, verse 15. You've got the situation where Jesus' crucifixion, and in John chapter 19 and verse 15, it said, this is the high priest and those guys all before Pilate, the chief priest. Verse 15, but they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Right? Now at that point, what did they do? They took their jurisdiction of who they were and went from here to here. They lowered their jurisdiction of where they were going to be, and they put themselves as the authority. Now, very first lesson we discussed the spiritual principle of authority, which is God's plan to protect your life, right? Whenever you are under a system of authority, a system of jurisdiction, that will have an effect on your life and your experience, whatever that is, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a company, whether it's a whatever it is, those things will have an effect on your life and your experience. So when they, as the high priest, the chief priest, when he made that decision and they said, look, we have no king but Caesar, mm-hmm. What they said was, we're over here, the city on the seven hills, we're under the water admiralty law, And now, what did Jesus say? A time's going to come where they're going to put you out of the synagogues. They're going to kick you out because you follow me. Because you are under a higher principle. You're not going. They're going to kick you out. You know, you're not going to be leaving. They're going to throw you out because you're made different. And this is why, if anyone really wants the truth, and so this is why also, where does the success come? In the world system, it's the merchants of the world. But back to that same system, they all participated in it. They're all part of it. Became the world's great men, and they use what? Sorcery, divination, that word magic. You know, I mean, how many times have you heard so much word magic to ever get you to shut your brain off and to not think and not ask a question? How often can things get shut down? Political correctness is a powerful way of shutting down a conversation. Now you can't talk about something because that's politically correct. That's racist. That's anti-Semitic. Just think about it. How often just those things are thrown out to immediately discredit any sort of rational conversation. If you're trying to, you want to have a conversation with people that have a different viewpoint, mm-hmm. and wherever they're coming from. Why? So you can flesh it out. See where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. Have that conversation. Bring it up. That was part of the foundation of this nation. Was free speech was at the core of it. Why? You had to have free speech. Because you needed to be able to bring things up, protect somebody else's rights to do that. And if you violated common law, there was a consequence for it. So it's fine, say what you want to say. But you know, under mercantile law, they're creating 1,001 statutes to basically railroad everybody into this to their system of control, of harvest. Okay. So let's go to 2 Corinthians. Okay, so now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm just going to touch on a couple more verses for today.
I like all the scripture.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Right? So that was Paul's letter to the Corinthians. So here's a point there too. We never follow personalities. We follow truth. And so why? Because the truth will always remain true. And so we have to... So his point there was stay under the highest jurisdiction, the highest authority that's there. And whatever aligns with that, that's fine. But that which does not, you follow the truth, you follow that which is real and not these other things. Then 2 Corinthians, let's just jump forward to the next one, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. All right, got this ultra thin Bible. Okay, it says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So, okay, so we, what are we supposed to come out from among? See, I know, like a lot of people have said, you got to come out from sin, you got to come out from this, you got to come out from that. Well, all right, how about this? How about come out from an evil system in which, as we read in Revelation 18, in it is found all the blood of the saints. In it is found all of the evils that are done upon the earth. In it is found slavery money magic. Babylonian money magic. Look at the back of this note. The back of this $1 bill note. Look at the imagery on there. This is set up as sorcery. Yeah, and it's on the back of what people exchange every day. They pass around sorcery. They pass around sorcery notes. There's an energy on it. There's an enchantment on it. And until people realize that what you're fighting over is actually, it's a shell game, and they're extracting the value from you while you're using and participating in it, and most people don't even know. They're just watching it erode and go away from them as they're participating in it every day. So the instruction for the follower of Christ is to come out from among them. This is one of my frustrations with so many people that are supposed to be on the side of truth, is that they would rather go to the party, or they would rather, you know, just not deal with any of these things and just hope that it just kind of magically goes away. And that is not going to happen. The reason it's not going to happen is because as we were brought into, we came into this life and this world for a purpose. Just like Jesus was manifest upon this earth for a purpose. And it wasn't to come here and wish for things to be different. It was to come here, take the actions necessary and change the dynamic. And then at the close of it say, okay, my job's finished. It's finished. You know, what I was supposed to do, I've done. That's a question for every one of us. Is it finished? The reason that you came here to this life, is it finished? Well, if it's not, you better get on with it. Mm-hmm. Because you don't, you know, everyone is coming to this world, into this life, and not a soul is coming to this world that stays in this world. So how much further are you to accomplishing the reason and the purpose that you manifest in this dynamic today? Are you one step closer or not? Now, it may be a rough journey, maybe a bumpy journey, but what direction are you going? So back to our first series, how to change your life, right? This, we're doing something progressional here. Okay, so first step in this regard, inside of yourself, you have to be willing to say, I do not consent. You can't be throwing up your hands in the air, but then turning around and then saying, well, what can I do? First thing is energetically, I do not consent. And then you've got to start learning. Scriptures say, my people perish for what? Lack of what?
Knowledge.
Yes. My people perish for lack of knowledge. They don't know. Because they don't know, we constantly keep getting taken again and again and again and again. They send their kids off to fight in wars that have nothing to do with the reason that they're told to go over there. We take poisons that we don't need in our bodies because we believe people that are supposed to be that say they have our best interests at heart, but have nothing to do with that. We trust information coming out of a screen that's being fed to us by those that have a vested interest in us believing a certain vantage point. We have to raise our game.
And we think there's a difference between like North Korea and how and the dictatorship and what they get to view on TV is all about how great the dictators are. And we think there's a difference between that and the state, and there isn't. It's exactly the same.
Who's been to North Korea? See, this is the question. Like, who's been? Like, the only thing we know is been. I mean, maybe it's terrible, maybe it's wonderful. We have no idea. Why? Because we haven't been there. We've got a set of information told to us. And even sometimes certain people come up and they say, but how do you know that's what's going on? You don't. So there's a lot of things that are put out all over the world. Here's my experience. My experience from traveling and being around the world has been... my experience has been that the bulk of the world, the people in this world, we agree 90% on everything. You know, about what's important, about the health of our families, about our parents, about our kids, about, you know, wanting to live a good life. We're pretty much agreed. There's a few things that we disagree on as far as, you know, maybe how to go about that. Those are things that we can flesh out if we actually have a straight conversation. But we agree. But what do? They keep everybody divided on purpose. Because as long as you keep people divided, they're fighting against each other and nobody's actually looking at what the real problem is. Divide and conquer was how entire nations were brought to their knees. And they continue to use it to this very day. Why? Because it works. It's shop-worn, but it works. And so they continue to use that against the people of God. But what God has told us is to untangle ourselves step by step. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That is the instruction for every one of us. So understand that there is a system that has been brought out and methodically laid upon the people, but also understand that there is a way out for every one of us. But it's not going to happen just wishing it to happen. All of us are going to have to put in the energy, the time, the focus, the work to do that. And that's part of what the Ministry of Health is supporting in, but it's going to be every person is going to have to do their part in this process. So with that, we're going to have to close. And we're just about to run out of time. So in Jesus' name, bless everybody. Thank you so much. All right.